This podcast episode is dedicated to empowering sensitive people to recognize their trait as sensory intelligence
and bring their unique gifts into service for the crucial roles we play in communities, businesses, and leadership globally. I'm Julie Bieland, sensitivity expert, psychotherapist, and founder of the online Sensitive Empowerment Community.
I'm Willow McIntosh, founder of Inluminance and leader of the High Sensory Intelligence Movement. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome, everyone. We are recording this episode live in my Sensitive Empowerment Community, and I encourage members to interact and ask questions as a part of enriching our experience. Today's episode is called Ownership as Path to Meaning and Peace, and I'm going to turn it over to Willow to get us started. Hello, Willow.
Hey, Julie. Thank you so much. Lovely to be here. Welcome, everyone. And I am really excited to be talking about this topic this week. I am excited about this because I have found through the years working with others, working with myself, this piece around ownership has been so transformative, meaningful, and effective in terms of finding our sense of peace and really claiming who we are as high sensory people.
Love it.
Yeah. And, you know, just to go into that a little bit more, kind of what I really mean about this piece of ownership, it is about being honest. There's a disengagement or almost like a disbelief in some ways that we kind of know to a certain degree who we are. However, typically as we come through our childhood and we come through our developmental phase, because we're misunderstood and because it feels like we need to be someone else and we do a lot of pleasing, this kind of thing, we tend to lose track of who we are and actually how we really see the world, what's most important to us, and you know, what the kind of thing that we want to do. And the problem is when there is that disconnect, it ends up being a very unhappy place for us. And I have found that honesty and ownership is a very interesting and powerful path back to meaning and peace.
What an important subject. And I think that is so relevant for us. I know that's been my experience in childhood. I mean, I really feel like it took me till I was practically in my 40s before I started to really get a sense of exploring who I was for the first time.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. Absolutely. And I find, you know, when I do my client sessions and the facilitation work that I do, it's part of my gift, as many of you guys know, and Julie, I know you have a similar gift too, is that I can sense and feel when someone's in alignment. I get this sort of burst of energetic, it's like a burst of kind of excitement and pins and needles, but it's a very powerful feeling when someone starts talking about their passion and their truth. I just know, I can feel it, and then that helps me to ask the right questions and help to guide. And almost every single time I do that, it's when I start asking the questions that encourage the person to start being honest, about how they really feel about themselves and the world, how they really feel about what's most important to them, and actually how they interact and how they experience things, and just being truthful as a first step. And then the second step is when we start to own it. It's like, okay, hang on a minute. What can I do here to actually bring this into my life, to start using it in the way that I was born to bring it into service? It's always the same process.
That's so fascinating. I was thinking about all the clients I've worked with and the times when, you know, somebody comes to you and they're incredibly unhappy in their life. And as you start to ask some of those questions to help them explore I kind of think of it as almost like helping them shine a flashlight into their internal self. And a lot of times, and I can say this for myself too, before I really did my internal work, that we often don't even know what's in there. We don't know how we're feeling about things. We don't even necessarily know what would make it better. And I had you've probably experienced this too with working with HSPs, just this concept of sometimes it's even the first time when we've asked those kinds of questions, it's like the first time they've explored it within themselves.
That's so true. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And that's actually a very important piece to remember. You're absolutely right. And it is like shining a light in there. It is, it's almost giving permission, you know, in the safety container of a safe container to say, no one's looking, no one's listening, you're safe here. Let's have a look. Like, what's in there? How does the world look for you? You know, tell me what you're experiencing, what's most important to you. And you're absolutely right. For many of us, and it was for me too, it was having the right facilitation and for someone to say, let's look. And then for me to go, right, okay, goodness me, you're absolutely right. That really makes sense and I can see what's there. And then there was this piece of like, okay, now I'm clear what it is. And now let's look at how I can really own that and bring it into reality, or bring it into my reality.
I love the let's take a look. I love that because it's shared with such it's an ability for you to explore without the judgment. So you're exploring with a curiosity. So anybody that's doing this kind of internal work, you definitely want to explore with an open curiosity. Because think about how, for example, if somebody's asking you questions and you can sense some sort of a judgment in their question, you don't feel safe to be vulnerable and to explore that and to share that. But if you can really open into a non-judgmental place and just be in a place of curiosity, right? Just like exploring, like, let's have a look, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think also something else that I noticed too is for many of us, our when we do look in there and we reveal it and we say, okay, you know, wow, I've got this ability and these, you know, these high sensory abilities and gifts. Sometimes when we first look at those, we think, well, what am I going to do with that? You know, how am I going to bring that into the world? How am I going to make any money with that? Or what am I going to do with it? And actually, what I find is that when we go a little bit deeper and we start to explore what's possible and what that gift, the advantages that that gift gives us, we then start to see it's like, actually, hang on a minute. I can start to do some really profound work with people. It might start to look out, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know, I've got this fascination with kind of love and, you know, sort of like divine connection. And I've noticed I've had this throughout my life as a child. And I feel things very strongly. I'm highly empathic. When we first reveal those things, you know, the first response might be, well, so what? You know, that's just caused me problems. But then actually when we think, well, how can I, if I apply this into a particular area that really fascinates me, and it could be anything, suddenly we realize just how valuable these interpersonal skills are. The fact that we can see things a little bit more deeply, and all of a sudden it opens us up to some incredible possibilities in terms of the work that we can do with it.
I love that. That's so true. And I think that you and I, Willow, we have this mission. And I think that's why we just love doing this podcast together, because we share that mission of helping to really raise up the potential in HSPs, because we absolutely believe that HSPs can do such profound work in the world. And sort of helping them understand how to really access those amazing gifts that come with this trait, and how to explore all these possibilities. Because, I mean, it's so exciting to think about, and we've already seen that with so many HSPs we've worked with, like how they lift themselves up in the world when they are able to explore like this, and it's really exciting to think about the potential.
Yeah, absolutely, exactly right. That's exactly right. I couldn't agree more. It's the potential. It's that potent, that, you know, the potency of the gift, the potency of the trait of HSP. It's powerfully potent. And And it's only when we, you know, it starts with shining the flashlight in there, and then it kind of moves into this place. Okay, wow. So you know, getting inquisitive. It's like, okay, you know, this really fascinates me. And actually, you know, I have a skill here, and my senses are enhanced in this area. You know, then it's like, okay, wow. So, you know, how can I bring this into manifest? What can I do with this? And then that leads very beautifully into this ownership piece. So then it suddenly starts to make sense. It's like, right, okay, so perhaps I'm especially skilled at facilitation because I can feel particular things when I'm talking to someone and questions simply come to me. So that's the higher intuition, the empathic abilities and the ability to feel more deeply. So it's like, right, okay, so let's look at that. So, if that's where my skill set lies, then now it moves into this place. It's like, okay, actually, I can do something really special with this. I can change people's lives. I'm here to make a difference. And that then really starts to solidify and starts to really help us to own and, you know, come from a place of personal empowerment, which is what this meaning piece is all about, I think, which is so important to us.
Yes. I love what you were saying about, like, sometimes that when you're working with someone, sometimes the answer just comes to you. I'm like, I experience that all the time. I just be like, wow, where did that come from? That was just like, so it just was perfectly needed in this moment. And it's like this, it's definitely an intuitive knowing. And I was also thinking about, you know, you were talking about the potency of the gifts of this trait. I think that's a powerful thing to explore. And I know that a lot of HSPs come from a place of feeling maybe too broken or not balanced enough in the world or too challenged by the trait to really sort of step into, say, a leadership role or to creating something in their life that they want. And I think if I even talk about this on a personal level, I used to feel the same way. And but what's so fascinating in that, it's so fascinating about it right now is to think about how the fact that I am at like my highest level of sensitivity of anybody I know, really, I think that because I understand the challenges of being that incredibly sensitive in a world that isn't set up for my sensitive nervous system, I understand that from a personal place. And because I understand that, my voice really, I think, resonates with others who are that sensitive. So my point of that is to let everybody know that, you know, if you're out there in a leadership position or you're trying to be or you're trying to create something or a new business or a nonprofit or whatever you're doing out there, your personal experiences and your ability to create tools and use tools to help support those challenges are some of your greatest gifts to teach others. Don't you think, Willow?
Oh, beautifully said. Yeah, absolutely right. Yes, exactly. Yes, and typically, you know, the whatever challenge it might be in life that we've been through is usually the exact training that we need to do the work that we're here to do with other people. In the particular areas that we really struggle with, we've had so much training through life, so many challenges through life in that particular area that it makes us really, really effective at bringing that kind of change and transformation in others. And you're right. I really love how you've referred to that potency piece, and often how, you know, so many of us as HSPs out there, and I certainly was myself. You know, we tend to focus on the challenges and think, well, how am I ever going to kind of be of use or do what my heart really wants to do? The thing is I know I've said this before, but it's a shift. It's reframing and it's shifting our focus from focusing on the challenges of what seems to be difficult to actually focusing on what this potency really means personally for us individually. What is it that this trait is giving us in the area of our strength? Where are we? What are we good at? Where does that potency lie for us? And when we start to focus on that and start to really dwell in there and really own that piece, then the other challenges, you know, then we just think, okay, well, I need a bit more downtime to look after myself. I've got to start hanging out with negative people. I've got to stop watching the news. You know, it's like, yes, let's get some self-care things in place. But it's a shift now. It's a shift to focus on what are you good at? What does this trait really bring you? And what can you do with it?
Yes, the shift of the focus. I think that's very important because as extremely sensitive people, sometimes it can be hard for us to to stop focusing on what we feel challenged by and to move into where are the gifts. And I think that, I mean, that's where, you know, so much of what we talk about too is about, you know, we do have to practice that type of self-care that sends us into a state of more balance, because that's when the gifts come in. And to really, you know, the other piece I think is important too, is to recognize, because I see this a lot in HSPs, is we don't necessarily realize that other people are not sharing the same gifts we have, you know, this ability to be so empathetic, to be so intuitive, to read micro expressions and body language. I mean, you are able to do that even more so than 80% of the population. And I know a lot of us don't even realize that other people don't have that ability. And I think it's important to talk about, to recognize within ourselves, to, you know, to really, yeah, Gaynor says, it feels empowering to focus on our gifts. Absolutely, right?
Yeah, totally. Yes, it really does. That's such an important shift for us. And it's, you brought up another great piece there. When there is that comparison, when we're, you know, when we're comparing ourselves to other family members or to friends, you know, and thinking, well, why can't I be successful in that particular area? Or, you know, why can't I lead the same life as someone that's close to me or someone that I look up to? You know, we've got to shift that piece. We've got to, you know, that tendency to want to compare with others, because we are fundamentally different. Our physiology is different. The way there are just differences. And I can particularly remember, you know, like going through my previous career as a, you know, renovating properties and houses, and I'd kind of put myself up against other guys in my industry that were just like, you know, it just seemed, many parts of the business just seemed completely effortless to them. I was thinking, why can't I do that? And I realized that I was focusing on the wrong side of my skills and my abilities. You know, that wasn't the arena that I was going to succeed. I could have succeeded, but I just would have burnt out and I wouldn't have been being authentic. So, you know, choosing to no longer kind of compare with the other 80% and remember that these heightened skills and abilities that we have give us these abilities in particular areas. And those are the areas for us to focus on. That's how we can regain this sense of ownership and you know, meaning and empowerment.
Yes. And we can hone those skills even more so when we're paying attention to them. It's fascinating in the brain, like whatever we're focusing on is what grows. So if we're focusing on the stress and the overwhelm, that's going to grow. If we're focusing on developing and honing some of these gifts, that's going to grow. And I think another piece that's important to talk about is, and I hear this term a lot, but this idea of progress over perfection. And that I think as HSPs, our default is perfection. We want to get everything right. We don't want to make mistakes. And a lot of times this stops us from taking steps forward because we're waiting for everything to be perfect. And I think that it's so important to share that it's not ever going to be perfect, because that doesn't exist. And, you know, I feel like the more I started to share my own experiences and my own challenges, the more people were relating to it, because it's important to talk about. Yes, there are these challenges, and these are some of the tools that I use to balance some of these challenges. And these are the ways that I'm able to sort of lift off that layer of overwhelm and go down in and get those gifts.
Yeah, beautiful. Yes, that's so true. Oh my gosh, that's such an important point. You know, because this perfectionism piece, you know, this is a real kind of piece for us. And I've heard, actually, I can't remember where I heard it, but I heard that it was a part of the reason that we get lost in perfectionism is because we don't want people to find out that actually we see and feel the world differently.
Oh, that's a big one. Say that again, Willow.
Oh God, I know. I felt the same when I heard this. I've heard that one of the reasons that us as HSPs are so fixated with perfectionism is because if we can get our lives and the world and everything in perfect order, it's less likely that someone's going to come in and ask us questions and notice perhaps that we are different and see things differently and that we're sensitive.
Yes. So we're trying to, basically then we are trying to hide that we are different. And that's exactly what I spent a lot of my life doing. But in fact, I just think about like where I am right now, connecting and relating to my community in a way where we share these experiences. And it's so normalizing and validating, isn't it, to be able to talk about this? It's so important.
It really is. Yeah, it really is. Absolutely. And you know, it's one of the ways that I found in myself of how I was able to kind of break through from patterns of kind of perfectionism or getting stuck in my mind and over processing and just being in this kind of a stagnant place for a while and not wanting to move forward. I found that there had to come a time where I had to let go and trust that life was going to hold me and my heart was going to guide me if I just took a baby step and tried something new. And I began to realize that my head was only ever going to take me 80% of the way, and my heart had to do the last 20%. My head was never going to, my head was never going to be able to forecast or really experience and get everything in place ready. The only thing I could possibly do was actually make a change, even if it was just a tiny change. And there was the most, I'm going to tell you a super tiny quick story of a way that this became so apparent to me. And I think this is really valuable for us to get our heads around as HSPs. Through my life, I'm a high sensation seeking HSP. So I love high sensation experiences. And one of the ways that I love that is with water sports. So I've loved board riding, surfing, windsurfing. And I also love wakeboarding, which I do on a cable around a cable park. And through my career of learning to wakeboard, I used to go to this club in the UK, in the south of England. And I used to, this Australian guy used to arrive, and he used to do all of these incredible acrobatic tricks where he would do backflips and forflips and all this kind of thing. I would literally stand watching transfixed, thinking, I have to learn how to do that. So I embarked on the process of learning to do a backflip. So that meant my board and my body leaves the water and I go in a backward somersault round and then land on my board again. So
I had
Right. But something really, really interesting happened in this process that I have applied so much in my life about this piece of getting stuck in perfectionism and not wanting to move forwards, and how we can take these baby steps. So what happened when I was learning to do this backflip, there's someone that drives the cable. So they control the speed of the cable, and typically they're an instructor. So he would talk me through it. He'd say, okay, what you've got to do is you're going to have to carve away from the cable, which is going to put tension in the cable. And then when you pop off the water, the tension will lift you up, and then you can go into your spin, and then you can get enough air time to then do the maneuver and then land again. So I would go through this in my head and we go, okay, no problem. Yeah, very good, very good. So I would go out, and as I would carve and as I would pull away to the left, my mind would be going, okay, so now you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you're going to do that. And then as soon as I would get to the moment where I would lift up into the air, my mind would say, no way. There's no way you're going to do that. You may die if you do that. My mind would immediately stop the process. It was
HSP part of you being cautious, and the HSS part of you wanting to do it.
Yes, there were exactly that. There were these two parts of me that were having a conversation at that point, and it would happen again and again and again, and I would get so frustrated that I can do it. Until one day, I just allowed that thought process in my head to go, saying, you can't do that, you're going to die. And I just allowed that to be, I blessed it, and I just went for it. And I just did the maneuver, and I did this perfect backflip in the air, and I landed it. And what I experienced through that was through the process of letting go, through the process of trusting, because all that was going to happen, the worst that was going to happen was going to crash in the water. I wasn't going to die, you know. But I personally had to call upon something a little bit deeper in myself, just to take that step, just to show my mind that I wasn't going to die. I may make a big splash. Maybe I was going to like pull a muscle at the worst case scenario, but the payoff was going to be enormous if I pulled it off. And it was enormous. It felt absolutely amazing to do this maneuver. And it's something that I bring into my life. I remember when I get stuck in the overprocessing habitual mind thing that we have as HSPs, and I know that I need to make some kind of step forward. I know that I need to try something, whether it's starting a new business, whether it's talking to our boss about something, whatever it is, we know we need to make a shift to help ourselves to develop. It's trusting that there is a part of us that's deeper. There is a part of us that's connected to our hearts and to our souls that knows deep down that we're perfectly capable of looking after ourselves and that life is going to hold us if we just take that little baby step and at least try.
Yes, absolutely. Because you believed in yourself finally. There was that piece of you that just believed in yourself. And
yes.
Right?
That's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it was, Julie. I finally let go and believed in myself. Please carry on. But you're right. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, you believed in yourself, and it's okay if it's not perfect. And we're getting a lot of comments in the chat about people relating to the perfectionist part. I mean,
Wow, I think
this is a huge piece because it holds us back, doesn't it? It holds us back from doing a lot of things because if we're waiting for it to be perfect, it's not going to happen because perfection does not exist. So we will not ever reach that point if we're waiting for it, right?
Brilliant. Beautifully said. I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. It's a false reality, perfectionism. It's never going to support us. You know, it's never going to, I'm having a look at the comments too. Yeah, it's never going to get us anywhere. It's nice to aspire to doing something very, very well. But when perfectionism is literally taking over everything that we're doing in our lives, it becomes crippling.
Yeah. And I have to say, everything new that I started was scary. Like doing my very first live video was scary. I wasn't in a place of feeling I'm so ready and I'm not nervous at all. I just did it. And it was like, wow, okay, I could do it. I could do it again and I could do it again. And I noticed that each time I practice, I get better and I'm more comfortable. And eventually you get to that point, right? Where you're like, I can do it. And I think it's important to understand that it's part of a default part of our trait that we actually do want to get things done right. And we want to get them done the first time, you know, get them done right the first time. That's part of how you evolved. We need a group of people in the population that are like that, that want to get things done right. We just have to be careful about having that be something that stops us or just makes us stuck. And we got to go for it.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. That, absolutely right. Yes, it's very, you know, the fact that we do take things very carefully, you know, and we make sure that we don't make mistakes and we're very conscientious in that. That's a beautiful part of who we are and what we do, you know, and that's really is to be honored. But the thing is when that takes over us and it stops us from really trying and moving forward, you know, when we go through that process of shining the light inside and we get these insights and we reveal our potency, and we're like, oh my gosh, I could actually do this with it. You know, we can spend the next year making the website and kind of, you know, perfecting the process and who am I going to talk to, what am I going to do? But there's got to be a time where we get out from it, from behind our laptops. We've got to put down the website and we just have to take that little leap of faith. And it is the believing in ourselves and it is accessing and learning to rely on this other part of us, our hearts and our courage and our strength and knowing that we can and are designed to do the very work that we're meant to do.
Yeah, a visual that has often helped me is to think of it in terms of like a ladder. Like I'm taking a step. Each time I do something, I'm taking a step on that ladder. And eventually, eventually I'm going to get to a point where I'm raising higher where I want to be, but I have to take it one step at a time. But each step that I'm taking is a piece of growth, right?
Brilliant. Yeah, very good. Yes, that's such a good analogy. Because when you're standing on that first rung of the ladder, it might feel a bit wobbly at first, but then you're used to it after a while.
And then
it's easy to move up to the next one. That's a really good analogy, actually.
Yeah, some great comments. Yeah. Mike is saying, very powerful and much needed relatable advice. Susie says, yes, perfectionism is such a key theme. Tina made a joke. I love it. Willow, you move forward by flipping backwards.
I love that. That's exactly. It was so counterintuitive. And you're exactly right. I did.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. I show my mind, nothing is set, and I put the intention out and send it, feeling my heart, and I'm on. Yeah, very good. I've done this as a soccer goalie. Yes. Yeah, Mika, I love that. Yeah, it is. We have to show our minds. You know, we have to kind of, because our minds are great servants, but they're bad masters. You know, we've got to learn how to understand that we're not our minds, and we're especially not our negative conditioning. And we have to learn, you know, and going up a rung on a ladder, you know, that's challenging beliefs. Because when we stand at the bottom of the ladder, we look up, and our minds say, if you go up there, you're going to hurt yourself. But the only way we, and maybe that will happen, but the only way we, well, sorry, that's not a very good example there. But what I mean is our minds overreact. You know, our minds overreact. So if you go to the top of the ladder, you're going to die or something like that. But the thing is once we get onto that first rung, we get to that second rung, what happens is we challenge that belief, that limiting belief. And our mind, exactly as my mind said when I was halfway around the somersault, my mind just went, yeah, well, I knew it was going to be okay anyway. Our minds suddenly go, oh, okay, well, actually, that belief that I'm going to die isn't true. So let's move on. Let's go to the next round. But we've got to do that. You know, we've got to show our minds. We've got to challenge the limiting beliefs that our minds are presenting us. And the way that we do that is through experience. It's only ever through experience, in my experience, anyway.
Yeah. And like Nikki made a comment, I don't want to fail or look like a fool. And I think that, you know, I think there's a lot of fear of judgment. There's a fear that if we feel like we're failing or we're not doing it right or we make a mistake that we're going to be judged. And I found that the most important antidote to that is your own self-compassion, being able to say, you know, okay, that didn't go perfectly, but it's okay. And to really give yourself that self-soothing so that you're going into internal awareness instead of that external focus on what other people are thinking. And I actually do think a lot of judgment comes from our own internal self, though, and being able to, you know, I want to say, for example, I remember thinking about what was it about people that really drew me to them when I started following certain people online or through their books or something. And I realized it was people who were very real, genuine, open, honest, and they would tell stories that were like, wow, I can't believe they had courage to tell that story. But at the same time, it was like so connecting because they were showing up in the world as an imperfect person, which actually made me connect to them more because we actually connect to each other through our imperfections.
That's so true. That's so true. And me too. I love that authenticity and vulnerability when I see that in others. And you're right. It is based in that self-compassion and self-love, you know, because sometimes it's, you know, when we're sort of talking about these concepts and ideas and, you know, things that we work through but I'm still challenged. I still have to watch my energy and I still have to kind of nurture myself and look after myself. And sometimes, you know, I don't get something quite right, or perhaps I overwork or something goes wrong. And it, you know, it really is about, that having that level of compassion and just knowing that, you know, it's about sort of holding ourselves along the way, but making sure that at least we are moving forwards in whatever area we intuitively know we ought to. And also making sure that we're sharing that with the right people and making sure that we are being nurtured and supported by the right people. So we're not, sometimes there's a habit that we have to kind of share things with people that are just going to squash it. And then we get this self-affirmations that, oh, well, I wasn't any good anyway, and I'm not going to do it. You know, we've got to break that habit. We've got to make sure that when we're making these steps, we are nurtured ourselves and by the right people around us.
Very good point. That nurturing is very important. And think about how we sort of encourage children. We're nurturing them, and that's what's encouraging to them. We're not putting them down if they make a mistake. And we can't do that to ourselves either. So we have to be really conscious of that self-talk and making sure that we're being self-soothing, self-nurturing, surrounding yourself with people who support you and make you feel that way is very important point that you're making.
Yes, I think so. Yeah. Yes, because, you know, we are, certainly in my experience, and through my life, especially over the last probably 5 years or so, I've really consciously taken things out of my conscious day-to-day life that really distract me and cause me a great deal of overload in terms of processing. I've purposefully tried to give myself as much freedom in my heart as I possibly can, because I'm so easily affected by things. I'm so easily affected by having the wrong kind of relationships in my life, or, you know, doing the wrong kind of work, or eating the wrong kind of food, or just having the wrong kind of, you know, habits. Like, I found I've really got to be very, very conscious of just keeping my kind of day-to-day experience as clear and as fluid as possible. And that really has come through having the right relationships and eating the right food, and, you know, and doing the right things and nurturing myself in that way. Because, you know, when there is this onslaught and bombardment of things coming from places that nothing really to do with us, or stuff that we shouldn't really have to process, you know, it adds a whole nother layer of work, I think.
Yeah, because you wouldn't be able to be doing this work if you didn't have that conscious, intentional self-care that will be balancing for you. And that's the message I think we're trying to share too, is it, if you are taking care of yourself in the ways that you need to find balance for your sensitive nervous system and who you are in the world, you will then access these gifts that we're talking about that now we get to share with the world. And if we were not conscious of that type of self-care, we wouldn't be doing this work. Absolutely. I'd still be in my bed with the door locked, trying to avoid the world. But luckily that's not my life anymore, because I finally figured out how to take care of myself and to keep taking those steps on the ladder a little bit at a time.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, exactly that. Yes. Yes, exactly that. Me too. Yeah. Yes. And then, you know, then it's sort of, if we're taking away a lot of the negative interactions, and we're removing that sort of excessive process that we're having to do, and that weight and the lead that's kind of down us, it does then help to shift the spotlight towards our gifts, our purpose, the meaning of why we're here. And then, as a knock-on effect, we're then, okay, so actually now I've got some freedom in my central nervous system to really do something with that, to really, you know, kind of play with it, and to really, you know, to really sort of begin that path of ownership, that sort of reframe of the focus really, really helps. I love that we have so many comments here. I know that we're coming close to the end of our session now, but I just love the fact of how much interaction we have today on the comments. It really is fantastic.
And if anybody has any specific questions that they want answered in this episode, go ahead and put them in the comments now. And while you're doing that, I want to make a point. I think that what's kind of exciting is this thought about, you were talking about living life in meaning, and I think HSPs in general have something inside of us that just wants to help others, wants to help the world in some way. And we're really making that point that it has to start with the way you care for yourself, because if you're caring for yourself in a way that allows you to be balanced, that's when you access those gifts that you can then share in the world that will help others. So it really starts with our own care of ourselves, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's really honoring. It's almost like if we were to meet ourselves one day as an adult, and we were able to take ourselves away on retreat for a month. You know, what would you do with that person? How would you support them? What would you say to yourself? What would you do? You know, how would you dress them? How would you feed them? You know, it's like, it's important to ask ourselves these questions. It's like, just hang on a minute. You know, let's just give ourselves as much love as we would to a twin brother or a twin sister. Because as you say, Julian, until we have these basic needs in place and this self-love that we all need, it's so hard to find that balance and to find the place that we need to be and to springboard forward.
Yeah. Oh, Renata made a great point too about that. She's making a point to be imperfect, to be as imperfect as possible these days, especially around others, because I don't want to set an expectation of me having my life together or something. I just want to be authentic. Something about this is freeing. That's the word, Renata, freeing. It is incredibly freeing not to hide who you are in the world, just to show up as your authentic self. It is so incredibly freeing. I love that you wrote that. And Willow, I don't know if you want to take a crack at Gaynor's question. Do we choose the right people by seeing how they treat others before we are vulnerable with them?
I love your intuition, Jill. I literally just highlighted that on my screen so I didn't lose it. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, that's a really, really good question. It's a really good question. Do we choose the right people by seeing how they treat others before we're vulnerable with them? I have found that, and I wonder if this is the same for you, Gaynor. I wonder if when you meet someone, you pretty much get an indication quite quickly as to who they are. And in some ways, we can't really put our finger on exactly what it is, but intuitively, I invite you to trust. I invite you to think about how you respond when you meet new people, because we are highly empathic and we're highly intuitive. And I have found over the years that I can actually feel whether there's something in someone that I'm going to struggle with. Sometimes it could be an interesting challenge, and that's a great thing, and it's an important relationship. But I have found that I can feel when there's something in there that I'm just not sure about. And I can say with 90% accuracy that I'm right. When I bring someone into my life, I knew from the first instance that there was something that wasn't going to be quite right. But actually, what you've just said there is like looking to see how they treat others. Absolutely. That's a very good indication. It's a very good process to see, you know, how are they with other people? How are they treating others? And also how are they treating themselves as well? Because essentially, if they're not treating themselves very well, that's a very good indication that they don't have the capacity to treat others very well.
Yeah, that's an important piece, isn't it? And to even ask yourself the question, like, because that's where I think it's important to show up as yourself. And because can I be myself with this person? And when I'm showing up as myself, I don't have to put, you know, any energy points into trying to be someone else when I'm with them. And we want to reveal our true selves to people, because especially in the development of friendships or relationships, because you want to see, is that person going to be able to accept myself? But I also need to be myself with that person.
Yes, that's very true. Absolutely right. Because if we can't comfortably be the whole range of ourselves and our emotions in front of someone else, it means that they're going to judge us or they're going to reject a part of us in some way. And that's really hard for us, especially as HSPs, to process that. If they're rejecting a part of themselves or they're going to reject a part of us, that's going to really cause a problem in the relationship. So that's a key thing to look out for. You know, to get a sense of, exactly as you're saying, Julie, can I show up fully in front of this person? And what's going to happen if I do that?
Yes, absolutely. Yvonne's saying, everything shared today is resonating so deeply for me. Feel like I finally met my tribe. I love that.
Bless you.
Isn't it lovely? It's so lovely to be together and to have these conversations. And Susie's saying, that's great, Yvonne. And yes, I really relate to what's being discussed too. Becca has a question. What circumstances would we reveal our sensitive traits? So
that's a good question, Julie. Yeah, go ahead.
That's a good question. And next week, we're actually going to have some conversations about the importance of telling people about the trait. So I'm excited about that part to go deeper into that. But I think that, you know, I come from a different place because I've already taken so many of those steps up the ladder in terms of my own self-acceptance of the trait. So I used to be, and I've shared this before, I used to be in a place before I did my internal work that did not accept my sensitivity and tried to hide it. Now I'm in a place where I'm so empowered in my sensitivity that I share it from the place of believing so much in this trait, believing so much in the gifts of this trait, believing so much in the education of others with this, you know, to teach others about this trait. So for me, it's a part of who I am. So it's not a part that I think about how am I going to share it at some point. It's a part of who I am. So it gets shared right at the get-go. Because I come from a place that's excited about it. Like I want to tell people about it because I think it's an amazing trait. I think it has so many gifts I think we're needed in the world. So for me, I'm coming from that kind of a place right now. What do you think, Willow?
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. I'm so empowered and excited and curious about the trait and how it shows up in me and how it shows others. It's all I talk about, and it's the only people that I really interact with. And I think it, you know, finding our tribe and making sure it depends on who we're talking to. You know, if I go into a sports bar and start with full of people enjoying a football game, and I start talking about my sensitivity, it's not going to come across in the right way. So it's choosing the right scenarios and choosing the right kind of, you know, circumstances of when we talk about it. But I'm in the same position. I'm so fascinated by what's possible through this trait that I'm always talking about it.
Yeah, and maybe it could even be talked about in the football game, because maybe you could talk about it in the sense of, you know, if one of those players was an HSP, what kind of gifts could they have in that game?
That's so true.
You know, there's so many amazing gifts with this and the intuitive aspect of it. I've started to think about how I want to start keep writing a list of like all of the areas that, you know, all the gifts of HSPs and all the different areas, just to be able to start to open up kind of minds about this trait.
Wow. So true. Absolutely. You're 100% right. Yes. The more that we can kind of explore how it shows up in as many areas as possible.
Yeah, and to share the gifts, you know, that's an easy thing to share. And I think that that's such an important thing to educate others about this trait. What a great conversation, Willow. Is there anything else that you want to make sure we covered today? Or anything that anybody missed that you wanted to make sure you put in the chat that we cover?
Nothing has springing to mind. I mean, the interaction here on the chat's amazing. And if we've missed anything, we haven't answered your questions, you know, please do reach out to us afterwards. And, you know, we will support you in any way that we can. And just thank you so much, everyone, for being on the call today. And I'm so looking forward to seeing you all again soon.
Yeah, what a great conversation, as always. And I hope for anyone that's new to listening to our conversations, I really hope that you check out our other podcast episodes. We've had so many good conversations, and it's incredibly empowering conversations. We've gotten a lot of feedback about how much it's loved, and you can find all those. You can find all the show notes and all the different episodes at hsppodcast.com. And I really hope that you share these, you know, the episodes that really you really related to, that you feel like lifted you up in some way. Please share the episodes, because then other HSPs will find it. And we really want to change the world. Right, Willow?
We do. And we are. Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, please do share, because, you know, there's many, many HSPs out there that are just identifying. They need support. They need awareness. They need community at the end of the day. And if the sessions, you know, the recordings sound good to you, the episodes, please do leave us a review, because that really helps us to build and share the word that much wider.
Yes, absolutely. It helps a lot. And if you want to join us for our weekly live podcast together, you can come to my Sensitive Empowerment community, and you can find out information about that from sensitiveconnection.com. Join me and Willow for these live events. We have such great discussions. I love talking to you, Willow. You've just brought so much to our conversation every time. And I know that our community has shared that some of their favorite events we've done in the community have been the ones we've done with you. And that shows a lot. I think we both share such enthusiasm. So thanks for being here, Willow, and for sharing and for connecting with us. And thank you, everybody. We just love you guys so much and really look forward to talking with you every week. So I hope you can join us for next week and check out all the amazing episodes we've done. And what a wonderful experience to share together.
We'll see you all soon. Thank you so much for your lovely words there, Julie. And thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Yes. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You can take my free sensitivity quiz and find all my HSP tools and resources at sensitiveconnection.com.
To register for the next masterclass on how to make your shift into high sensory intelligence, visit inluminance.com. Please leave us a voice message if you have a question or comment for us to be included in a future episode. Just click the voice message button in the show notes, introduce yourself, tell us where you're from, and record up to 60 seconds. We love hearing from you.
And please share this episode to help others. And take extra good care of yourself out there. Bye-bye, everybody.